true, that spiritual, actual, factual answers to questions he asking. You find them inside you, beside you, reciting the records of Kashuk. We laughing, we drafting the passion through fabric. It's time for that comedy, dramedy, all of the fanciest, catchiest acronyms. Listeners, listen, we traveling. Consciousness is always unraveling. The reading you're having is mapping you back to your natural habitat. Abracadabra, it's magic, let's pass it. To top it off, the host are the classiest. Now, what were you asking for? All of the answers, what? All the answers.
We're here.
Hello. Gaping podcast now. I answer soon. So this is a nice little segue into we're having our good buddy Safiya come on today. And the reason that's special is because
she is signed on to the project, as it were. She is coming on as our booker slash producer. She's gonna help us level up our whole situation with this podcast, trying to increase our reach, get our visibility out there on the socials and the TikTokies and the grams, and also on getting us some interesting guests, since we have both sort of run through most of our personal networks at this point.
I also feel like I could, you know, I know how to like go meet people and ask them to do things. I just don't wanna. And what I want to say for the listener on the human design tip is if it's like, this is such a generator thing. Cause like, if you don't have energy for a thing, trying to drag your ass through making yourself have energy for it is not the way to go. You want someone to, and look at this. Let's just for a second, look at the magic of this. This is what they would say in human design is two generators, you and me, a manifesting generator and a pure generator. Mm-hmm. What we have is warm enveloping auras. So our auras are pulling people in that are into what we're being. So we're responding to life, making the podcast, following our authorities, doing our thing, and we're enveloping people aurically, because that's what generators do. And then we don't have to drag ourselves through doing things we hate doing. Somebody showed up and offered.
Yeah.
What a miracle.
What like a miracle.
Desmond. Remember when fucking Desmond showed up out of thin fucking air?
Fucking Desmond. Fucking air.
Fucking genius. Fucking life-saving. Making it all possible. Desmond. No big deal.
Could not literally do it at all without him.
In any way, shape, or form. Would be dead on the streets alone and impregnated by strangers.
Wow. That's a terrible thing. That might be overstating the case. I don't want to invalidate your experience, but
took it too far. Reeling it back. Pulling it back in.
Bring it in, Kate. Yeah. Magic. I love it. And do we know is what her design is?
Safiya's?
Safiya. We can talk about that.
Oh, that's what we should totally do when she comes on today.
I can do that shit. All up in the business. On that topic, I was hanging out with Denise last night, and she has recently become obsessed with gene keys.
Uh-huh. Get ready, Denise.
You know, and we were talking about that idea of like certain things, certain modalities, whatever, land kind of, and then some of them just grab hold and shake you and won't let go. And you just go. And like her thing was with like human design. It's like, yeah, that's interesting. That's interesting. And then she did the gene keys. She's like, set up. So I read she showed me my profile, which she had run. Fascinating.
It's that shit for me is like, I'll read a paragraph and be like, I need to put this book down and walk away from the building and do seven other things for a long time and then come back.
Yeah.
It's so dense and so spot on.
And the other thing I noticed while doing it was, so you know how with Enneagram, vibing with it kind of pisses you off? You know, you read a thing and you go, God damn it, yes.
Yes.
And that's how you know it's on for you.
Yeah.
So the gene key was similar in that I read mine, except similar but the opposite, because it wasn't God damn it. It was like, oh, I love that. And I like every sentence of my little, all the different paragraphs that I was reading about my mission and my passion. I don't remember what there are three categories they were addressing, was like, yep, okay, uh-huh. And I got it, and it made sense when I read it.
Wow.
And then I read Denise's, and I understood the words, but I could not even
resonate.
I couldn't even resonate for her because it wasn't my language. It wasn't my words. So that was interesting to kind of just to read someone else's and go, I imagine that means something to you.
Yeah.
And that's how I knew it wasn't like generic, because a lot of spiritual language can be very like, it can apply to anybody.
Yeah.
You know.
Sure.
Yep. But this was just like, this is your mission. This is what you should be doing. This is also where you can, you know, endanger yourself or whatever. I was like, yep, got that.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gene Keys, really dense, really good stuff. There's a whole like schism. It's kind of an interesting, just like socially and politically in the human design world. Some people are really anti Gene Keys just because the guy who Richard Rudd, I believe, is the Gene Keys guy, sort of like renounced human design and said, you don't need any of the body graph information. You just need the profile and the incarnation cross. And that's all you need.
Interesting.
Yeah. And so, but what everybody in human design says is, yeah, but you were in human design 20 years and then you got to this.
Right.
So like you needed the 20 years. Now you do this. It's not, you don't have to renounce the other thing. Now what's interesting about that, if you look even closer, I was talking to my teacher about this. I was like, why do you think he did that? And she was like, cause he's a 6'2". And I was like, good fucking point. Cause 6'2", I happen to be one. The 6'2" is always looking for like, what is the next thing beyond? It's like, we're looking beyond this realm into the whole next thing. It's very 6'2"-y. It's just like a feature of the type. So, and the hermit role model has to be looking beyond to be keep being the role model, because you got to be a step ahead, right?
Right.
But not out of obligation, just because that's what they're doing. Anyway, so I thought that was an interesting observation. It's like, that makes total fucking sense. 6'2" would be like, I'm done with this. What else is there? Anyway.
Yeah.
I could really use a revisit to my Gene Keys. It's come up a bunch lately, so that's a nice little sign for me to look again, you know?
Yeah.
Wow.
Dig it. I wish I could remember the details, and she didn't email it to me. I might need her to send it to me so I can actually spend some more time thinking about it, because we just kind of read through it in fun and be like, oh, that's cool. That's interesting.
Was she reading from the book or?
No, she had bought the book and read it. Like, I mean, I'll tell her story, which was she woke up at 2 a.m. and Spirit was like, get on Amazon and order this right now. Like, she was like, why am I doing? She was seized with, you need to read this book now, and decided to do it and got it and read it like right away. But then she ran, I think she was running our stuff off of some website that might be connected to the book. I don't know. Maybe she has.
That's exciting.
Yeah. So, you know, there was a thing that looks not too dissimilar, but it uses all the I Ching. It really focuses on the sort of I Ching of it all. There's a bunch of trigrams and stuff in the diagram that they showed. Yeah.
You know, I deleted, like, I'm not kidding, like 300 things too.
Uh-huh.
300. So I don't know what else to do.
Yeah. That may be I sent you a little article, which was not probably that helpful, but it might be also onboard memory, like active memory, as opposed to like hard drive space. You might, because you might be able to get that expanded. Like you might have 4 gigs of RAM and you could get 8 if you went to the Genius Bar or something like that.
Oh, okay. Or.
So it'd be increasing what I believe is called RAM.
If only I lived with a tech person. Oh, wait.
Oh, yeah. Ask him about that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, Gene Keys seemed fun. Are you looking at it right now?
I'm pulling up things, and then I wanted to see something, and then I realized, oh, I have both these books. I just need to look at them again, except that they're in my damn storage along with 900 other things I need right now. So
I'm shaking my fist at the camera. Curse you, Cube.
Cube Pod.
New convenient pod.
Shout out to UPack. the letter UPack.com. It's like a cheaper, I paid half the amount you would pay for a pod, but it's a pod.
Right.
And you get 2 small ones instead of 1 big one. And it's much more affordable. They're just the competition and it works well. And I like them.
And will they drive it across the country at some point?
Yeah. As soon as I'm like, sure, here's another $2,500. Like,
wow.
Yep. I'm still paying off my break the lease early fees.
Jeepers.
Yep. So you got to pay to make big moves.
I love living in the modern world. The water world.
The water world. I live in the water world. Looking out this window, all kinds of water.
So, Katie, you've been back in California for what, a week? 2?
God, let's look at the calendar. Yes, a week. Wow.
Talk to me. What's going on? How's it feeling? How's the soul? How's the clarity?
Let's see. I prefer the frequencies here to the frequencies on the East Coast a lot. Very grateful for the water and the wind, although it gets a little fucking chilly. But chilly is preferable to I'm dying of heat, and the moment I walk outside, I'm sweating just from existing. No thanks.
No.
There's a lot of good stuff popping up and happening, like developments and cool, fun things I feel excited about. And like one of the things that was always hard where I was in Florida was there's just not a lot of arts infrastructure. So you're either creating the thing or you're doing something at this kind of not very evolved level.
Uh-huh.
Except for the improv group I was a part of, they were solid. Anyway, already here, I'm just like, oh, right, there's this and that and this and that. And it's easier to kind of be like, there's infrastructure that you could use. And I'm looking at renting some spaces. And so there's like options and things are gorgeous and have been around a while. And I'm looking outside of grids I've looked at before. And I don't know, I'm just exploring. There's a lot of cool, fun stuff to explore. Definitely in a period of, how do I say? Feels like everything I was has dissolved. And now I'm like, it's the first time, I've probably said this a bunch, but been eking up on me bit by bit where I'm just like, well, any number of things could happen next. I usually have a feeling of like, this is what's next. Let's do this now. But I don't feel very clear like that right now. I feel like, cool, we got all that out of the way. And now I don't know. And it's all very one moment at a time. It's almost like, the instant I get ahead of myself at all, well, what am I going to be doing? Da da da. Or how do I? Where do I? It's like, nope, right back into the moment with you.
Yeah.
I'm playing with some fun, cool ideas, but like all of it is like, some days I feel very like, you know, I'm going to get a tech job. I'm going to work in HR at a tech company.
No kidding.
Other days I'm like, not at all. I'm going to run a theater company. Other days I'm like, we're just going to focus on the podcast and grow that. Other days I'm like, my healing business only. And then I'm always like, well, maybe it's a little bit of all of it. But even that doesn't read, which used to read. That used to be the thing with me when I was in the Bay. It was always like, do all of it. Now it's like something else is about to land. It just hasn't. And I think it's because I'm landing here, you know?
I definitely resonate with that feeling of like, how's it going? I don't know. And that's okay. But I don't want that to sound like, I don't know.
Right.
But just.
Right.
How are you? I'm good.
Yeah.
Not great, but not bad. I am on solid ground and I don't know what is next. And I'm interested to find that out.
Yeah. That's interesting.
Yeah. I've been in that for a while, but I feel like I'm just starting to press out of it. I suddenly have a number of auditions and callbacks, which has not happened forever. Like for years. And so that's interesting to
tell us about those people. Like,
let things start to unfold. Like all the work that I was like, well, I'm probably barely going to be in play. And I still might not be. I don't know. But like, you know, I'm doing, finally got a callback for this play that I've been wanting to do. And then I got an audition for Berkeley Rep that they reached out to me for, which would be early next year. And like, if I got all the things that I'm auditioning for, I'm booked, you know? I'm going from not being booked at all to being like Gardena Carmel, come back, go do 1984 if that happened, and then take a breath and then go to Berkeley Rep. Like if they all came through, mm-hmm. I'd suddenly be booked. Mm-hmm. Also, none of them can come through, and that's also acceptable, but I would like some of it too.
And we should tell people about our shared improv Sunday about to be experienced thing.
Yeah, I just yesterday I was sitting there and I was like, Sam. I suddenly was seized with letting Sam know, A, that you are here, but also we have this thing from the long past. Sam used to organize, Sam Shaw, who is our improv buddy that we have talked about and had on the show. He organized this thing called Awesome Practice Group, which is just basically an organized, thoughtful jam for improvisers, but invite only. Like, mm-hmm. you know, he curates it. He's like, okay, I want any, and he makes a slightly different invite list each time. Though it always includes sort of the core group. And I was like, invite Katie. He said, I will. And he did.
We had a great email chat. He's great. Did I tell you that I'm going to go down to San Jose Comedy Sports and audition for them?
No, you did not.
Yeah. This coming, the 23rd, I think they have 2 days of auditions. One is, I think, this coming Saturday and one is Wednesday the 23rd. And I fell in love with short form out there in Florida. And I'm like, let's go, Comedy Sports.
It's fun.
It's so fun.
It's so fun. the closest I've come to Comedy Sports is we did a show at the fest, at the Improv Festival, and they were part of the festival, and we put together a house team to go head-to-head with Comedy Sports, and that was a blast, because they know what they're doing.
I saw that show.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I was there.
They have that framework dialed in.
Yep, it's tight.
It's tight. You know, the sort of fake competition. Mm-hmm. I shouldn't tell anybody it's fake, but the idea, you know, setting it up as a competition just to amp up the energy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it fake?
I mean, it is a competition, but if that's your, I feel like as improvisers, we're trying to do the best show. And in the same framework of like, as improvisers, you want to make your teammate look good. Uh-huh. You kind of want to make the other team look good too by,
oh, I see what you mean.
You don't want to like slap them down or spank them. Uh-huh. You know, you want to have a good show. So you want to.
Yeah.
So the competition isn't like, fuck you, you fucking loser.
Yeah.
But unless that's the character you're playing, you know, but I don't know. I mean, when I did it, it felt like we were performing together and it just happened to be with the context of it, of a competition.
Yeah. It's just like a shape. Like, I feel like with improv, you're just giving it a shape all the time.
Exactly.
Oh, that's another thing I forgot to tell you last time I was going to, and then I did, we got distracted with other things. I've had a couple people say they miss when you and I do Pravi gamey things on here.
Oh, yeah. You told me.
Oh, I did?
We should do it again. Yeah,
well, let's do it. We should do some.
Not today. We don't have time.
Well, fuck that then.
But next time.
Yeah.
Or the time after that.
Yeah. Okay. So because the timing is good, at some point she'll be hopping on. We have our buddy Sophia coming on today, who was on before a long time ago.
Yeah, a while ago. I don't remember how long ago.
Me either.
But
she reached out to us and said she would like to help us, like you said, with maybe promotions and social media and getting guests on and whatever else. And so we had a great meeting with her and we have some plans. And then Cassidy said, well, why don't we have you back on to tomorrow's episode? This was yesterday.
Why don't you book your first guest and have it be you?
Yeah, exactly. By the way, if you're listening and you're like, you guys should have blankety blank on, please let us know. What thoughts do you have about who you want us to have on and whose records you want me to get into and who's whatever de habity hoobity?
How do they do that, Katie?
They would go to, you know, the place.
AllAnswersPod@gmail.com.
That's where they'd go. That reminds me. I'm making a list of names for her. What is our dear friend? Fuck. Rebecca, maybe? Bat's person who has her own podcast. Friend of Fontana. Tall.
Oh, different Rebecca, because I'm thinking of Rebecca Peretsky, who is not tall.
Her too. No, her too, but we should have her on.
Peroshki would be great. Rebecca. Her name's Peretsky, but we used to call her Hot Peroshki because we saw it on a sign once when we were doing a show with her.
What's this other person I'm thinking of who used to be the AD of Bat's?
Yep. Can't think of it, but I know who you're talking about.
I'm going to write Bat's AD, lady, wonderful person. Okay, great. Here she is. We're letting her in, everybody.
That's it. Here she comes. Oh, look at that picture.
Oh, boy.
That's a nice pic of you.
Let's see.
Thank you.
Even better. Oh, creepy. Now there's a creepy picture with...
Now it's creepy because I just did this today.
For the listener, in the background of her Zoom window is Michael... What's his last name?
Scott.
Michael Scott from The Office peering through the slats at her disapprovingly.
Oh my gosh. Okay, none. There we go. That's better.
So we just introduced you. We told everybody the whole thing about our chat and your offer and yesterday. And now we're like, and she's here and she's back and she's been here before.
Yay!
LA extraordinaire actress, woo-woo friend. Listener of podcasts.
FOP. You're a good FOP. And now you are a POP.
Yes. Friend of the pod.
And part of the pod.
I've heard you say that.
I like it.
Pop. I get to be pop.
Oh, that's good.
You went from being a fop to a pop.
I think a pop is preferable to a fop for sure.
For sure.
What's going on? Sophia, like, do you tell us, okay, since we've had you on before, we asked you this question before, but I don't know. I'd love to hear a little update on like, what's going on with you spiritually lately? Like, what's your relationship to all that? Like, and then like, we can open your records and do whatever the hell you want.
Yeah, let's do an update. Last we met, podcast listeners, I was deep in, I think it was like 2021. I was still mainly acting in things. I mean, the biggest thing is since then, I like have a job. Like I like go to an office 9 to 5, like a muggle. Like I'm just like regular. I have salads at lunch. Yeah. It's crazy.
Did you do that? Did you actively go, okay, pandemic screwed everything up, I need to get a job? Or did it come after you? Or what's the story for how that occurred?
I think all of us were, especially who do what we do, we're like, I can't do what I do anymore. Like, that's crazy. Like, you know, and I did some teaching during that time. I did some other stuff, but it was hard to find, like, I don't know, something that was going to be more consistent. And I've actually struggled with this my whole entire career. I've always wanted like that job you could have where like you could do it, but then you could also still do your other thing. Mm-hmm. And like, you didn't hate the job. You actually liked it. Mm-hmm. And you could also do the other thing. I found like chunks of it, you know, standardized patient work or this other thing that was like, oh, this is cute or this is cute, but it was never like consistent.
No, those are just bill payers that augment the theater and film.
Augment the thing. And so I was part of it was like that piece. And then also wanting to really like slow down a little, like not have to take every job. Like, you know what I mean? Are you like,
yes.
If you're only making your money from your art, that means you may not want to do a thing, but you need to do a thing because you need a check, you need the weeks, you need the thing.
You need the health insurance. That's the stupid chase that dragon. Ugh.
Yep. And so I was like, this is frustrating, yo. Like, this is hard. And I had a friend who worked at this company and she just was like in town. We hadn't seen each other in a super long time and we had breakfast and she was like, you should work for my company. And I was like, why? I don't know. It'd be great for you. I think it'd be good. I think it'd be really good. And I was like, well, what could I do? Like, I have no skills. Like, let's be honest. And then she was like, you could do this. Yeah, you could do that. And she really helped me out through the interview process. And one interview led to another. And I kept going. And I was like, I'm getting close with this job. Like, am I going to take that? Like, and I did. And it's been really interesting to be, I still feel like a fly on the wall in this world. And also, you know, we all have applicable skills, right? Like we all have skills that actually translate to other things. I think as an artist, it is the case that a lot of people don't see that or recognize it or not acknowledge it. But I think in this instance, for the first time, I kind of just embraced it. Like rather than me being like, I was an actor, but you know, I don't do that anymore. I was like, I'm an actor and this is what it's like. And this is how this applies to what this job is. And I just kind of leaned all the way into it and I got it. And I was like, well, it'd be really nice to have a salary for like at least a little while.
Yeah.
Like a salary? Whoa, yes. Never had one of those. And in doing so, I've still been able to do acting work. Like I've still done like 2 shows while I'm doing this job.
Oh, wow.
It's been very challenging because I'm very tired.
I bet. Yeah.
But I'm like, I've done it. And I'm like, oh, I guess I can. And I also think about the work I want to take artistically differently than I would before. It's less like I need to do it or what's out there because I need a job. It's more like something comes my way and I get to go, okay, like, how does this feel? Does it resonate? Would I take time off to do this gig or not? And that's kind of how I'm able to balance. So that's a big difference from the last time I was on the pod.
Making yourself the get to choose, allowing your picker to work.
Mm. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. It's been bananas, but I'm not mad at it at all. Like it's been pretty crazy and incredible to just be able to provide for myself in a completely different way than I ever thought I ever would in life.
I hear that. Do you have like, here's my dream about jobs. Because my version of your story was like my healing business. The only problem with that is I'm in charge of it. Like I'm still an entrepreneur, which means I have to like make the money happen. I have to like mm-hmm. be creating stuff all the time and try to, and even that is getting old to me. And I'm kind of like, well, shit, you mean you could just like go to a place and then like do some stuff and then they like pay you? Like, that sounds fucking nice. Here's my main dream. And I want you to tell me if this is happening for you. I have the total
yes.
fantasy of work friends.
Oh, yeah.
I want work friends where you go and you see these same fuckers. And at first you're like, I hate all these people. And then 3 weeks in, you're like, well, that lady's kind of fun. And then you're like, that's my salad friend.
Yeah.
And that's the guy who I do copies with. And this lady's kind of fun because she always wears a weird outfit. Like, you know what I mean?
Work friends is real, Katie. I mean, especially for you who works solo, work friends is real. Here's the thing though. Like, it's super real. Like, you have your work bestie. Like, I have my work bestie. It's like, this is my work bestie. We're married. We take care of each other. We tell each other everything. Like, you know, we can talk about all the things. And then you definitely have work friends. It's super real. But regular people are hard. You know, they're hard nuts to crack. You guys know that. You work with regular people.
I tried dating some for a while and it never worked.
It doesn't work, does it?
They gotta be artists in some way.
I agree.
It's really hard because they're very, you know, you're like, hey, Rob. And they're like, hey. Like,
totally.
Like, I'm just saying hello. Like,
totally.
You're always so happy. And I'm like, yes, because this is kind of a performance to me in some weird way.
Right. You're not invested in it in the way they are.
Totally. But it is exhausting too. So the balance is like, yes, you have work friends, but I like need to retreat often and find a quiet spot, find a room, find a booth. Like, cause it's like, I don't want to talk to anyone. I want to listen to a podcast. I just want to do my work in solitude.
Yeah.
So it's great. And also like there's a constant balance here. At least for me, because I am, at the end of the day, I'm an introvert. Like, I'm kind of always doing this dance between like how much I have to give and how much I have to be like, no, okay, now I need to like kind of go cocoon for a while and take care of myself because I don't want to be, I'm going to be exhausted talking to people all day.
Are you in a cubicle farm?
It's an open office.
No, it's open office plan.
Tech. So, you know, it's just like an open office plan. So it's just like desks and everywhere. It's just like desks. There's no cubicle. It's just.
And just because I'm curious, what the hell are you doing?
I am working in the recruiting department of a tech company. It's a startup. We're in stealth mode, so I will not give you any more details. But you actually can Google it also. That's the other thing. Because this is a podcast, I'll say that. And so essentially in the recruiting department, there's like several different like facets of recruiting. The recruiters are the people who like talk to the person and are like, hey, are you interested in this job? Cool. And they like are working with hiring managers on certain teams to like find the right account executive, find the right SDR, find the right, you know, person for the job. And then sourcers are the people who like are sourcing the people. They're on LinkedIn. They're like reaching out, kind of going like, oh, I found this person and they seem really cool. Oh, I found this person and they seem like they might be a good fit. Oh, we want people with this experience. How about this person? And a recruitment coordinator, which is kind of more what I do, is I'm kind of the person who is, you know, putting the person through the entire process. So I'm kind of holding their hand through like, okay, now you're going to do this. And now you're going to talk to this person. And here's your answers to this question about this. And so I'm kind of working with the team on like how we're going to take people through the process in a way that makes the candidate have the best experience possible.
Interesting.
Yes.
It's kind of like casting.
That's totally the analogy that I used in my little thing. I was like,
casting / company manager.
Exactly. I was like, it's a lot like casting. It's a lot like the organization that I have to do for my auditions, the organizational skills that I have to use in order to keep things on track for myself. Like it's kind of very similar. And also just customer service, right? Like it's also very, and I've done a ton of customer service. It's very much like being kind over email, being kind over text. How many exclamation points are too much? Like these are the questions that I ask myself every day.
Like, oh my God. I live with that question too, even as someone who isn't in
100%.
Hey, great to hear from you. All caps, 3 exclamation points.
For me, it's like, if you end one sentence with an exclamation point, you can't end the very next sentence with an exclamation point.
Oh, God, I always do.
You got to get a period in there somewhere, always. And then you can throw on another exclamation point.
But I think women are more exclamation pointy because we're trying to be kind.
But for me, it's genuine. I'm just an Aquarius. We're like weird, friendly weirdos. We just are.
I know.
I had a healing teacher say one of the energies that is most misunderstood by 3-dimensional beings is enthusiasm.
Yes.
People think enthusiasm is like uncool and not grounded and it means you're spacey and you're going to fuck stuff up. That's like corporate, weird, trainee, whatever, masculine, patriarchy nonsense.
Yeah.
You know?
That's so real. And it's like, I think that's a good call out, because it's like, I'm like, oh, it's this female thing we do to compensate or da, da, da. And that might be like a tiny a part of it or one aspect of it, but it is also like genuine enthusiasm. I was talking to you, I'd be like, hey, so what's up?
Yes.
Well, what happened? And those all have exclamation points after
yes.
them.
Yes.
Oh, trust. I lead with an exclamation point. First sentence of every, hey, Sophia, I'm excited to meet you later today. Exclamation point. And then I have to be like, I can't do the next sentence. I just got to do one with a period.
But don't you guys think to be a theater person, we sort of have a built-in exclamation point behind everything a little bit? It's like what makes you theater ready.
Unless you're an emo theater person, in which case it's a lot of ellipses.
That's good.
And there is somebody in the theater community who communicates in lowercase. And I think that I always find that interesting.
It's very Eeyore.
Very Eeyore.
I'm thinking of all the actors I know. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that one's in that camp. That one's in that camp. You don't get a lot of musical theater actors that are lowercase ellipses people. This is fun to share with you guys. I did sign up. I was surprised that I did this, but I did sign up for an audition. God, kill me. Put a fork in me now. Where I have to go to a dance call.
Oh.
At the end. And I fully responded. I was like, hi, I am Equity. I would like to come to this for this specific role. I am not a dancer. I can dance-ish. I do not want to tap for you. Is there a time I could arrive at which I would not have to dance or tap? Thank you. Good day. Like, I give no fucks. This wonderful woman writes me back and she's like, hey, we get it. There's some roles in this show that are not da da da. And she said, I'll put you in at this slot. And then if you start the dance call and you're like, this, what? No, you can leave. And I was like, all right.
That's wonderful.
Thanks.
I learned a long time ago, never go to a dance call first. Like for myself, I would go, I can do that. I can do that stuff. And I'm going to be like, just the most awkward.
The problem is I can sing and I sing well, and I would like to do a musical. So I'm like, I'm going to go there. I will wow them with the singing. I will do 2 minutes of the dancing, and then I'll be like, oof, I gotta go. Because I actually do. I have another thing after. So like,
yeah,
I gotta go. And if they don't book me for that, I don't give any fucks.
Do you get to do the singing and acting first?
Yes.
Okay. Then we're good. Then you're fine. Yeah.
I went to one. So my friend had hooked me up with this audition. He was sort of coordinating the casting, I guess. And he sent me all the links, and there was even like a dance demo thing. You know, they had a tape of the combination you need to learn. But then like the next day, he was very clearly sent me like 2 or 3 messages saying, don't worry about the dance. You don't need to do the dance. Don't do the dance. You don't even worry. Don't even worry about it. Like I hadn't even asked, but he aggressively told me not to worry about the dance. I get to the call. I'm in the wings. The person before me goes out there, our friend Jomar, who I did not know was a hell of a dancer. I just didn't know that.
He is full of so many talents.
Man is a secret. He's got secrets too, because he doesn't tell you anything. So I'm watching him just destroy the dance. I'm like, okay, well, that sucks. That's fine. He's auditioning for a different role. I'm going to go out there and do what I do. And then they said like, okay, you know, which order do you want to do these things in? And I was like, well, let me do the song first, get that, and then do the scene. And then they're like, and then we'll do the dance. And I was kind of like, mm-hmm. And my buddy is sitting out there in the audience, and he doesn't say a goddamn word. He threw me under the bus fully. And I just said, you don't want to say I was told not to. Like, that just sounds like a lie. It's just like, well, I'm not very familiar with the dance, but I'll do my best. And then she sort of taught it to me in the moment, and it sucked, and it was awful.
Gosh, it's awful. It's awful.
My full plan at this thing is to monologue, song, and then be like, hey, I'm so sorry. I can't really stay for the thing. I'm going to go. And then be like, it's cool if it doesn't work, but like, I just want to kind of, okay, bye. I've always wanted to work at this company, so like, and it's a handshake. I don't care. I don't want to wear the fucking outfit and the shoes, and you got real dancers in the room. It's like, I don't have bankers come in to sing a song for you. I don't make, you know what I mean? A lady who's a seamstress do a monologue. Why do you make me stay? I'm coming for the role where it says in the play description, this lady doesn't dance. That's the role I want. What's the problem?
100%.
I think there's some power in that too, because like, if you can say, oh, no, I'm not going to do that. That's fine.
Yeah.
Then they don't go like, because otherwise they saw you do the song, they saw you do the monologue, and they were like, she's great. Oh, she sucks. Like, it, you lose points. Whereas if you, they never saw it, you might not lose those points.
Right. Except that I don't suck. I just suck enough less. Like, I suck enough.
Right. You're still losing points.
Yeah, totally. It's just, no. Anyway, so you have a job. Back to Sophia. Have a J-O-B, learning about that, living in L.A. By the way, which part of L.A. are you in? I forget.
I'm in South L.A. I could say it's so interesting when I tell people who are like native Angelenos, you know, when if I say Jefferson Park, they're like, oh, we used to just call that South Central. I'm like, yeah, that makes sense. Like, it was all just kind of one thing before. I'm in South L.A. I love it.
That's great. Okay. And then is the workplace close to there or do you commute?
I commute. It's not super close, but it's not that far. I mean, I'm a little lucky. I try not to tell people at work where I come about my commute because it's pretty good. It's pretty good. I mean, it's not too bad. I don't have to like have a major slog, which was good when we started coming back into the office. It was like, this is a pain, but at least it's a little bit less of a pain.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Because living that, like thinking of you living that LA life, I've lived it. And a lot of it can be freeway heavy.
You did?
Yeah, I did 5 years down there, man.
That's such a long time. What was it like for you?
Well, I did, oh God, I lived in, I mean, I can't count so many neighborhoods because you've met me before, but also because I couldn't get to where, so I lived in Mar Vista, which is over by Culver City. I lived in Hollywood. I lived in Santa Monica. I lived in La Crescenta. I lived in Studio City for a while. I moved down to Orange County, down to like San some job down there. And then I moved to a different part of Orange County. Every single time I was moving, I was trying to make LA work for me.
Yes.
I had a sort of a community through, I was sober and I was going to a lot of AA meetings. So I had that community going on and I had some people from the Bay that were up there at the same time. I always felt off with the area and I could not click in. I was always ready to hang when people were going to bed, or I was like ready to do a fun thing and people had already done it, or I didn't want to hang with people when they were all going to the beach. It just never worked. And there was this moment where I had a breakup. I was dating someone. I broke up with him. I realized like I needed a no contact with him. I needed to like break it off. And he was trying to be buddies. I think I was 38. Yeah, because I woke up on my 38th birthday and had a revelation, which was, I got to get the fuck out of here right now. Because like my mortality hit me. It had never hit me before.
100%.
I just was like, oh, you're going to die. One day you'll die. And is this what you want to have done with your time?
Yes.
And yes. I'm telling you, within a week, I had packed my shit and I was driving on the grapevine to Sacramento. Where this is a little good story for some people to hear, because when certain things are correct, man, things fall into place. I got back to Sacramento. I told two people I was back. I lived on my favorite street in town. I got an apartment nobody could get. I just walked in. There was a sign. There was a line of people. He picked me. I don't know why. I booked 3 shows back to back. It was just like ping, 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 because it was such a mismatch for me. And I was I always felt like, and I booked commercials and shit there. I booked shit. I wrote a fucking solo show and got a manager and got it produced and made money and whatever. I just hated it. And then when I left and everything fell into place, I felt like 600 pounds of weight just sort of lifted off my shoulder. It just wasn't for me, but boy, did I want it to be. And I tried. But
that is so beautiful.
The metaphor I always talk about is I always felt like I was putting a, you know how like people that hike up ice walls, you use an ice pick? Yeah, I was like, slamming the ice pick of my will into these solid ice walls. And then I would hook in and then slide down and then slam with the force of my will and then slide down. And I was like, why am I doing this? Why? There's a river and it flows downstream and I could be floating on it.
Yeah.
So finally I floated on the river. I'll tell you.
And that river is the Sacramento River.
That's right.
One more quick thing though on that. This is a phenomenon. I wonder if you've experienced this. Sophia in particular, right at the time I was trying to leave but couldn't get myself to leave, I would have this experience. It happened probably three different times. And then I met, let me think of the actual number, two to three other people who had had a similar experience, which was they would get as far as the grapevine. You know, you get like to the tip of the grapevine and you're about to go through where all those gas stations are. It's like you're finally leaving it. You pass Ventura.
Yeah.
And you're like, I'm going to come off the hill and I'm on the 5 and I'm going.
Mm-hmm.
I would get right to that spot and I would book a fucking commercial or something. And the
like they would call you in the car and you'd have to turn around.
Yes.
What?
At Button Willow and go back.
Or I'd get an email that was like, hey, check avail. Are you available for? And I'd be like, fuck. Because you hustle your life and you're like, I'm not going to say no. They're asking me. I have to. What? So I would literally get slingshotted back into the fucking place and I couldn't get out of there. It happened a bunch of times. And then I met a bunch of other people who had a similar experience. I, at the time, was in Sufi school, or I had just graduated Sufi school, and I was learning about this thing called the shaitan, which is the darkness energy. It's the opposite of the light. We talk about it in healing context a lot. And I was like, this is shaitan 101. This is the darkness going like, but you could have this sexy thing. And I'd be like, I want the sexy thing. Then I would take the sexy thing and I'd be miserable again.
Interesting framing on that.
Totally. Because you could frame that a million ways, right?
Right, right. Because you could say like, I guess it's not time or I'm meant to be there for something. And that, like, but you're framing it like, no, that's darkness. Like, I know it's heavy. I know I don't want it. That's really deep because I think people often
always
kind of like, you know, when the guidance we're getting is seems off from like the thing that we know we want, we're like, but this doesn't make any sense. Right. I mean, similar with me taking this job, it was like, this makes zero sense in my life. Like I have spent my entire life building a career. I've been working very steadily. I'm incredibly lucky. Why would I go do a job? But it's like, And then to like during that time, of course, there's like something comes up like, oh, do you want to do this thing? And I'm like, do I want to do that thing? And like, but it's interesting to frame it as like, that's the darkness pulling you back rather than like your evolution is kind of pulling you in a direction.
I hear this all the time from clients and they're constantly saying nonsense to me. Here's what people's favorite thing is to do, particularly if you do any spiritual work ever, is a coincidence happens. It's got to be for my highest good. Nope. Here's why. Let's learn a thing. I'm excited. No, because sometimes...
Enthusiasm.
Enthusiasm! Exclamation points. No, because we have to understand there are so many energies at work all the time within ourselves. There's shaitanic energy. There's entities. There's your past. There's karma. There's fear. There's projection. And then there's what you're visioning and creating and what you want. Then there's what's correct for you. Then there's what's incorrect for you. Sometimes when a synchronistic magic moment happens, this is where I see it the most. I'm going to calm down a little bit with my clients is an ex-boyfriend or an ex-partner shows up. Well, but he showed up. So we're meant to, or should we get back to get 9 times out of 10 when an ex who you had real problems and it was bad and he was toxic for you and he's back. That's because something, this is not a gift. It's a test. Are you really committed to yourself? And you're going to do what's correct here spiritually, or you want to go back to the comfy, comfy shaitan? Because the shaitan is sexy. And the thing that people don't know about it is it masquerades as the light all the time. One of its favorite ways to do that is to show up synchronistically. So this is why we have to develop this ability. We don't have to, but I support it deeply. Each of us developing our own way of asking, wait a minute, is this actually part of the path here? Is this in my highest good? Or is this... Does it seem like it, but it's actually taking me back to Shitsville.
I remember you talking about id, how you share that with a person. And so that's not necessarily, doesn't necessarily mean health. That's not necessarily a healthy thing. It's just like an energy that you share. And so, and I remember that being a really, that was so helpful for me because I was like, yeah, that's that thing that has shown up for me in the past. And it's similar to what you're saying now. It's like, something that seems synchronistic and it seems so perfect and it seems aligned, but you can kind of always tell because there's a tiny, tiny part of you that's like,
yes,
do I wanna? Because when it really is synchronistic, and I can say this from experience, you're like, everything in you is yes. Like every single cell of your body is yes. And there's no part of you that's like, and the only part of you that's is that part of you that's just like, this feels weird because why would I want that? Or how am I going to make this work, or XYZ. But
yeah, it's new and you have fear about it, not it's wrong. Yeah.
And but every time it's that shaitanic stuff, it's like there's that part of you that's like, this, there's something achy. And I have to do a better job of trusting myself when I hear that, because I do, but I trust it. And then I like beat myself up for like, you know, 5,000 years going like,
well, because you wanted the job, you wanted a gig. But I would point people to our recent mini episode that we just published recently that Katie did of just about wants and needs, and really
yes.
how that's broken down. And I think that's applicable to this. It's like you wanted to book a commercial because that would, in your mind, that was the reason I'm in LA, right? So you have to turn around. But you didn't need to book a commercial. You needed to find fulfillment and artistic recognition, or you needed to da 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 da.
Yeah, there are many people who go for the shiny thing and the shiny thing pays off. That isn't my path. Like sometimes a shiny thing pays off, but only when it's correct. In other words, we want to make this rule. I notice humans always want to be like, if it's shiny, it's good. Or if it's shiny, it's bad. It's not either of those. It's like some shiny things are aligned and some not so shiny things are aligned.
100%. I worked for a long time as a cater waiter, and I did so many fancy parties in New York with so many fancy people. There were several times when I was like, I would never want to spend time with these people.
Mm.
And they're all like very rich and very fancy. And I have no desire to know them.
Yeah.
What does that mean? Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think because we kind of sometimes place value on people who have achieved a certain thing, who have a certain amount of wealth, we're like, oh, well, they must know something. Oh, well, they must have something.
Totally.
And being in those environments really taught me like, that is not true. And that, and there's no part of me, just the way I'm built, that I can sacrifice who I am to be in that environment no matter what. And there are times I've been in them as a just person. And I'm like, I have no desire to be in this environment and I'm going to leave. Why are you leaving? I don't want to be here.
Tell me about it. I'll tell you one. One time I got invited by this. I'm talking about the toxicest man you've ever met in your life. Very famous, a lot of money. I've never met somebody sicker. He stalked me. I moved because of him. Nightmares on the television. Famous. We'll talk offline about who. I don't want to say because I'm afraid of him. That's right. And so in LA, he took me to a... shall I? Yes. So there was a Sony party for the Oscars, and I bought the dress, and I had starved myself into being beautiful enough to feel good about this nonsense fucking event. And I go to this thing, and I'm telling you, every famous person I've ever admired my whole life was there. I some people that I didn't talk to them because I was like, I can't ruin what you are in my mind. I'm keeping you on the other side of this room. I can't. Mandy Patinkin was there. Joey from Friends, whose name I can't think of right now. Fucking what's her bucket from The West Wing. Tall Allison Janney. So many people. Okay. And I talked to a lot of them. I'm not going to say the name of this one person. I was at that time watching a show I was obsessed with. And it was that she was the character on the show who, if I was casting myself in any, my dream role, funny. It was funny. It was a comedy, funny lady who's also kind of attractive, but not too pretty, but not unattractive. You know, like, I was like, that's my role. God damn it. She's doing it. She's there with her husband, right? And I've got this clown with me, and he was the worst. Boy, that's a whole other, we could do a whole podcast on that guy, whole episode. And I'd like to, for the sake of the listener. Anyway, I'm there with him, and I look good. And everybody else looks good. We're all looking good. And I, the one person I couldn't help but go up to was this woman. Cause I was like, I every day stare at this show. I watch it over and over and over. I have to meet her. And I had no plan. I didn't have anything slick to say. Just went up to her and I was like, I'm sure people approach you all the time. I'm so sorry. I'm obsessed with the show. You're so fucking good on it. It's really nice to meet you. She was so miserable and mean.
Oh gosh.
She looked at me like this. I can't do it with words for the listener, but she was like, oh, well, thanks. And I was like, I mean, really, you're my favorite character and I watch it all the time. And I'm sure you hear that all the time. She was like, not really. Then she started to dart her eyes around the room, like really like, I guess I should be She looked so uncomfortable, so nervous. Her husband was like, I don't know what to say. This is weird. We continued talking. She was sort of like, I guess I should be polite, but she clearly didn't want to talk to me. I watched her the rest of the night because I thought, maybe she's just weird with this rando who approached her, because what are you going to say, right? This woman was like clinically depressed. You know, I'm a little fucking psychic. And I was like, she's got, wowza. She's a dark, dark lady with a lot of trauma.
Whoa.
Now, after that event, because I was so like, I have to be crazy. There's no way that's real, right? Because I'm programmed by America too. Like, there's no way the rich, famous lady doing the funny role on the TV for all the money is
living your dream life in your...
Living my dream life is unhappy. That can't be right.
Projection.
I started to follow her on the socials, and I was so like brainwashed by the whole thing that I was like, I will like this social media. I will like it. I hate everything she posts. Everything she posts is like which spa she went to and like how her nails look and her kid. I kept thinking, wait. She's a funny, edgy comedy lady. She's just like doing the Hollywood thing because that's what you do in Hollywood, but she's laughing at it too. No. She was fully bought in and shiny smiley on the Instas. I met her. She is not shiny smiley.
Whoa.
You got to type her in the chat just because I'm too curious.
Yeah, I will.
Yeah, I am.
You need to break our heart real quick.
Wow.
I know. Isn't that a trip? And then.
Wow.
Yeah, it's not. No, that's not true for everybody. You know who is the shiniest, smiliest guy is what is the actor Joey from Friends?
Matt LeBlanc.
Matt LeBlanc is, you can't, he's a golden retriever, shiny magic unicorn puppy dog.
You can tell.
He's from across the room, you're like, what a great guy. He's just fantastic. Yes.
That's so important to know, like, because everyone thinks like, oh, if I had that, I would be boop, 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 boop.
Yep.
And so many people, I remember when I worked at Starbucks, somebody came in, I can say their name. it was because it was like a zillion years ago, Kirsten Dunst. And I never cared, but she came in and I remember she was like complaining to her friend about how like, yeah, like I have to lose weight because da 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 for this role. And I was like, Kirsten Dunst? Like she's this big. She's what? And I was like, are you serious? And she was like, she was the coolest person. And I was like, she's really fucking cool. And how dare the industry make her feel like that? You know what I mean? It was really, I was like, wow, like that's kind of, that was really revelatory for me, you know, just because it doesn't matter who you are or what level you get to, like saying you're still a person who's dealing with life.
And trauma and past and attachments and fears and insecurities and demands.
I'll just say in the meantime, the show episodes that Matt LeBlanc did is absolutely brilliant. If anyone has never seen it.
Oh, I did see that. Mm-hmm.
I didn't watch. Is it like mental health stuff? Isn't it like therapy? No, it's different.
No, it's he basically plays himself, like a version of himself, which is one of my favorite genres of things. They're doing a reboot of a British show in America and they cast him as the headmaster instead of like this, you know, the person they should cast. And the way it unfolds, the characters on there, it is truly one of the most delightful and funny things that I've ever seen. And it was from watching that I was like, oh, Matt LeBlanc is really great. Like, he might be a real person.
Right. We have this image of him as Joey as being something that he probably isn't.
I found the name of it. I found it. Hold on.
Okay. Just for curiosity's sake.
That was frustrating.
Oh, I don't know it. Never watched it.
If you look up the name, you'll be like, oh, that person.
Oh, okay. I never watched.
It doesn't matter. I was obsessed with the show and you get the point.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not to mention the dude. Okay, I'll tell one more terrible Hollywood story.
I love it. I love what you have. These.
I heard yours. Yes. The other one was the dude that took me to that party who turned out to be a borderline personality disorder. And I won't tell the whole story, but he was so crazy that when I finally realized it and broke it off with him for good and moved away so he could never find me, I hoped, his texts went from, he wrote me a text, 6 paragraphs. You're an angel from heaven and I've made so many mistakes and I learned from you and what a gift you were, 6 paragraphs. 20 minutes go by because I know better and I'm not engaging. 20 minutes. The next message, fuck you, you fucking cunt. I'm going to find you. You're a dark piece of shit. Nobody's going to ever, you're never working this. 20 minutes later, I fell in love with you the moment I saw you. I'm talking about black and white, like two different people messaging me. And this went on for days. That's how crazy this guy was. It turned out, end of story, maybe 6 months later when I finally was like, had nothing to do with that whole side of town and him and the whole thing. He had, God, how do I tell this without, let's do it like this. What's like an incredibly popular television show right now?
Good question. There's a lot of them.
Okay, let's do it like this. So picture The West Wing. You guys remember The West Wing?
I remember The West Wing. Very popular in its time.
This was not the show, okay? So Allison Janney and what's his name are the leads, right? Picture a character who, like, their aide, the aide in the office, who's on a lot, but has like three lines per episode, right? On a huge show, an Aaron Sorkin huge show. This wasn't an Aaron Sorkin show, but I'm saying to make the point, right? He decided, this real person who had a role equivalent to the aide, right, decided he was going to make up lies about the, who am I, what's the name of the lead actor in The West Wing?
Martin Sheen, not short, very different.
No, but Martin Sheen is the dad of the Sheens, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so imagine you're on that show and you have a one-liner every third episode. And you decide in your mind
to spread rumors about Martin Sheen,
that you're going to go to the producers and tell them nonsense lies about Martin Sheen, the famous actor that everybody loves. You're going to make stuff up about it and they're going to believe you and they're going to replace him with you. He did that so overtly and so transparently that he got fired off the show he was on because everybody was like, what?
Oh, so it didn't work.
Didn't work. Got fired.
That's insane.
Didn't work again after that. He's done. He's just done. I mean, that's how fucking crazy this clown that I dated twice was, which tells you a lot about where I've come from, guys.
Yeah, you've made a few relational mistakes.
Well, let's frame it like I've grown a lot. How about that?
In the past, you have grown through some really intense things.
Yeah.
So anyway, LA can be dark, but it can also not be. It can also be great and beautiful. And
it can be. And to LA, I still feel like I don't really know how I feel about this place. Like, I got here right before the pandemic. I don't really know. It's fine, but I'm not like, oh, it's so great for me. Like, I'm not there.
That reminds me, before you came on, we were talking about opening your human design chart. Would you be interested in that?
Oh, I would love that because I don't know it.
Oh, I'm stoked. Do you have your birth time to the minute?
Yeah, I'll give you that information in the chat.
Birth time and place to the minute.
Mm-hmm. I know it by heart because I'm woo-woo.
I'm going to pee. Give me a 2-minute pee break. I'll be right back.
What's funny is we actually never answered the question that we started with, which was, what is your relation to spirit these days? It's fine.
It's kind of listening to myself, like in these weird ways that seem kind of like semi counterintuitive sometimes. I think that's like, maybe that's where I'm at now, right? Is it's like I'm listening to myself, and so often, I mean, and I frame it like that because before, when I started listening to myself again, everything was in alignment with my artistic self in a way that kept forwarding my career in a way that felt very like beautiful and like everything I'd always ever wanted type of thing. For instance, like, you know, when I first left New York for Cali, it was like, this doesn't make any sense. But being back in Cali, then I started actually working, and I hadn't worked before that. So it's like all of those kind of things, guidance that I was getting was kind of moving me forward in that direction. And to be in a place where the guidance is going like, actually, like, you're going to do this thing, you're going to say no to a great thing, right? You're going to say no to another great thing. You're going to do a job. You're going to go to this place. It all these things are like, this doesn't, none of this feels like, I thought the path was like, okay. And then now we keep climbing up this ladder of, you know, success as an actor. But it just, to listen to myself now feels strange because it's like, okay. I'm not going to stop listening.
Right. If I listen to myself, I might step off the escalator for a moment. And that's
exactly. But it's to listen to yourself and not doubt that either, right? And look at all the ways in which that is providing for you as well. And I think about all the things that I'm, the creative reservoirs of things that I'm able to sit with, or the like writing or doing other things I just don't think I would have done because I would have been exhausted by the grind of theater and life. But because I have a job.
The grind of success.
Yeah. But because I have this job, like I can take a break to do that and also find the reservoirs of capacity. Because I remember, you know, in the Bay, for folks who don't know, people who are working actors always are working another job. And every time I would do a show, I'd be like, how did you go to work today? And then you're at rehearsal. Like, wow, like I'd be dead. I'm so tired. And now to be that person who's doing that, I'm like, oh, okay. Like I can do that. Like I can find that reservoir within me, which I think just came from time, maybe experience, having to do it, whatever it is. But it's interesting to go to just kind of continue to open yourself up to more of like who you are and more of what you have to give in the world.
Oh, what's up? Rami here. So something really interesting about my experience recently doing this musical Noise in Vermont was that it was a really hard process and we didn't have enough time or resources. And there came a moment where the cast said, no more. We are not going any further until we have had a meeting with no creative team present in which we take as long as we need to take and process as much as we need to process. And this entire building, we are holding hostage until we have taken as long as we need to have this meeting. And everyone was kind of on board. Like, you know, everybody else in the building was like, yes, you need this meeting. Okay, this is really inconvenient, but we will give you this time. We don't have much time, but we know we have to give you this time. And they did. And then I, as the equity deputy, as the whatever, as the representative, I then went to the creative team with sort of our demands, our loving demands. Okay. So amazing that in this day and age, that is a thing that can happen, right? That is, we had so little time to put on this show, and yet we're like, we're fucking taking this time, even though we have no time. Now, if we had been given a little more time and a little more support leading up into that point, we probably wouldn't have needed that meeting where we just fucking stopped everything. But we did. Like, the time and the support demanded itself, right? Because it wasn't getting, because we weren't getting those needs met in the process up until that point, there came a point where we could go no further without just taking that time. Unfortunately, it was a little bit late for us and we were a little bit broken already, but, you know, that's what it is. Okay. Now, here's what I have to say. Here's what else I have to say. The last, and I'm not kidding, the last three plays I have worked on have had this happen. A time came where the cast had to call a meeting without the creative team and the producers present, in which we held the entire process hostage and took as long as we need, and then came forward with our demands. And, you know, and so what is that? What does that say? Isn't that crazy that in the last three plays, that exact thing has happened? Okay, yes, I am a common denominator, but I am not but it can't be me. but so it says something about the era we're in, that there is a level of empowerment where the cast feels they can do that, and where the people in charge feel that the cast can ask for that, right? There's something there. It absolutely is connected to something about the culture of Gen Z too, that like, we will not stand for this. We are empowered. We will take what we need. You know, there's something there. But, oh God, it's so fucking fascinating. Also, a common factor in these three productions, aside, this is the time we're in, this post-COVID time, it is also that in all three of these cases, the group of performers were cast because, to some degree, because of our identity. So they wanted us for our identity, for what we had to give because of our identity and because of our skills and whatever. But the institution was not quite ready to give us the individual support that maybe our identity comes along with. That might be a little bit vague, but I am standing by that statement. I think that statement makes sense. Anyway, so that is another thing that is interesting, like, that's happening. So first of all, American theater is dying. Well, white American theater, white majority American theater is in the process of dying. I'm currently in Minneapolis right now, and there is an Asian theater company here that my friend is performing in, that's why I'm here, that is 30 years old. It's doing pretty well. And there's a Black theater company that is even older that is doing very well right now. But that's because their systems historically the whole time have been different than the white institutions of the majority of white American theaters. Anyway, so American theater, which is white American theater, let's say, is in the process of dying. And so all these things are like, everyone's just trying to figure things out and trying to make things work. And it is uncomfortable and weird. And there's a lot of this stuff happening where, yes, we were wanted for our identity, but the system wasn't ready, right? But the system wanted it, but the system didn't know what all came with it. Stuff like that. All right, this has been long enough. 6 minutes, Rami's rules.
Okay, so you were saying, the reason I thought of to ask you this, Sophia, about have we looked at your chart? Let's look at your chart, is because the way you were talking when you were like, LA's fine. Is it fine? Is it my, do I love it? There's that. That is this center right here, the G center being open. I was like, either you have open solar plexus or open G. And I'm like, okay, so let's talk about what it is to have an open G center, because there are plenty of people listening. If you're listening and you have an open G, this is for you. G center is the on its side square in the middle of the body graph. Wow, your chart is really interesting. Okay, bunch of things I can say. First thing is, if you're not with us here, Sophia has defined ego, defined emotional center, defined sacral, and defined root, and is single definition. Everything else is open. All the other centers are open. There's a lot to say here. I'm going to give you a quick and dirty download here. First of all, having open G center, and look at this G center. You have no gates hanging off of it. So you see this square?
Yeah.
There's no colored lines coming off of it in any place. That means that the topics related to that center are fully irrelevant in this lifetime for you. You have that somewhere, like you mastered this somewhere else. This is not a lifetime about this for you now. You also have that all the way up here in your head center. So this is not a lifetime of thinking having any relevance to anything you're doing. And it is not a lifetime about identity or passion. What I love and what I hate. And what are my passions? Who am I? What is my identity? What we say to people with open G is the way to be the most distracted and frustrated as a generator, because remember the not self theme of the generator is frustration. The way to be maximally frustrated with no definition in the G and no gates and channels off the G is to ever wonder ever, what is my purpose? What is my direction? What do I love? Why? You are completely inconsistent in that area. You have no definition there. The places that are Sophia in this chart are the places that are colored in. These centers are Sophia. This is the Sophia-ness of Sophia. All of this, this openness, open spleen, open G, open throat, open head, open ajna, are where you're going to be inconsistent and unreliable to yourself in terms of making decisions that are relevant to you for your fulfillment and satisfaction. So what you do not, here's where you want more frustration, try to follow your intuition, try to know who you are and what you're passionate about, try to figure out a good way to say words and express yourself clearly, and thinking and being certain. Any of that is going to lead you to more frustration, more confusion, because all these are inconsistent for you.
Wait, when you say not follow my intuition.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I do follow my intuition.
Well, stay with me because I'm going to show you something.
Okay.
There's intuition, which is this guy, this splenic center, which is actual intuition. Then there's what you have, which is sacral authority and emotional. Well, you have emotional authority, but you have a definition in the sacral center. So what you're following when things work is your gut knowing and your emotional wave. So you'll go like, yeah, I want to do it. No, I don't want to do it. Should I do it? I don't want to do it. I want to do it. I'm not going to do it.
Yeah.
And then eventually it evens out into like, I guess I'm going to do it. And it's not that exciting when you finally decide. And it's not the height of the wave. And it's not I'm not sad about it, but I'm not thrilled. I guess I'll do this now. That would be what we would say is correct for someone with emotional authority.
Yeah.
You're also going to have strong gut senses of what is correct for you. Your gut will say, or hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of it for your gut. Now, intuition over here in the spleen, it's this sort of quick, dry wind of awareness that people either have or they don't. And your being is not made up that way. You're inconsistent in the intuition area. Now, intuition is a word that means a lot of different things to a lot of different people, which is probably why you're confused right now.
Yeah.
The way we're taught about what does it mean, clearly you have found a word, a meaning to that word that works for you because you're following it and it's working. So use that. You're great. Don't worry. You don't have to flip your life inside out. In this language, what we would say is you have emotional authority. And what that means is you'll be excited, not excited, up, down, up, down, up, down. It'll even out into a kind of, eh, or yeah. And that is how you make decisions that are correct for you. Another thing I can say is with defined ego, very interesting. People with definition in the ego have, the ego is a motor. So is the sacral center a motor. The sacral motor is very powerful. The ego motor is very weak. But the thing about the ego motor is what it does is it latches onto something. Like it decides, I am doing that and I am doing it until it is done. I will see this through until completion. I'm doing it because I said I would do it. I committed and I'm doing it. Why the rest of the world, particularly artists around me, are you all so damn flaky? Is probably something you may have heard yourself say. Why can't you just commit? You make a plan, you commit, you do it. Well, that's because you have definition here in the ego. You have consistency in your ego that is connected to your emotional center. So for you, emotions and commitment and having energy for a thing are all one thing. So another way to say that is when your ego latches onto something and it says, I'm doing that and I have energy for it, I am seeing it through to the end, period. Whereas somebody with open ego, which is both Cassidy and myself and probably a lot of people you know, just because it tends to be a whatever, it's who knows, everybody's different. But we are not designed to make commitments very often. In fact, it's best to not make commitments until you're certain you have the authority and authority-based energy for it. A defined ego person's energy is going to go, I'm doing this. And the moment I know I'm doing it, I'm seeing it to the end. So they advise people with definition in the ego, wait, in your case, it would be wait all the way through the emotional wave before you commit, because you're someone who once you commit, you're going through to the motherfucking end. Because that ego is not going to let you out very easily. So wait through the emotional wave until you're like, yeah, okay, yeah. But don't expect yourself to be clear about who you are or what your passions are or what you passionately love or don't love. You will love things, but it will be very inconsistent. You love it today, you don't love it tomorrow. You identify as it today, you don't identify as it tomorrow. The G center, the not self theme of the open G is I'm lost with no direction and I have to find my direction. That's the not self theme of the open G. So it's the lie that will lead you to the greatest distraction from you being you is I got to find out I'm lost with no direction. I got to get found and find my direction.
What's the freedom?
The freedom of the open G is I'm free to be no one or anyone. I'm like this lady today and I'm that lady tomorrow and I'm an actor now, but I'm not, or I am, but maybe not. What you identify with and love and have passion for, it's going to be inconsistent. And that's not incorrect and wrong. And you got to fix that. That's like in here. That's who, that's the part of you. Similarly, with this totally open head up here, the not self theme of the open head is I can't figure it out. I got to figure it out. The freedom of the open head is you're free to not think. So anytime you're like, well, but if I don't think, well, how the fuck am I going to figure it out? The answer would be you would follow your strategy and authority, which in your case is respond to life and wait through the emotional wave until you have a sort of neutral based clarity. So it's a low body, gut level, emotional level response system that you have, not a think it up, figure it out system.
Pretty accurate.
Yeah. Okay, good. Last, I'm just going to review the not self themes of all these open centers because you have five of them. Not self theme of the open ajna is a believing in certainty. I'm anxious until I'm certain.
Mm-hmm.
That's a distraction.
Yep.
The freedom is I'm free to be uncertain. I don't know how I feel about LA. Sometimes it's this, sometimes it's that. Throat, open throat. I'm invisible if I don't say words, so I better figure out how to say words so I'm not invisible here.
Yes.
Freedom of the open throat. I'm free to be silent. Don't you feel so much more peaceful when you just don't try to say words?
I was very shy as a kid. Like, I didn't talk for a really long time. People thought, like, is she okay? But it was like, I would talk around my family, but I didn't talk to people. And, you know, I was also painfully shy, but had I known it, like, whatever age that is, like, you can also just be quiet. And it's like, no one was like, it's fine. You didn't have to talk.
Yeah.
That part.
Yep. So not self open G, just remember, I'm lost with no direction. Freedom is I'm free to be no one or anyone, whoever today I feel like being. That's fine. Because there is no consistent identity and no consistent passion. There will be identity and there will be passion, but it comes, it goes, it changes, it flows. Who knows what it's going to be today? Lastly, this guy, the spleen, is having an intuitive sense of what is healthy for me, like touch, taste, smell, sound, the senses, what is healthy for me? This is inconsistent here for you. The biggest teaching, though, that we teach people, which I bet comes up for you, because I think if I recall, you might be a 6 on the Enneagram.
I was told that, but I don't know. I think I am.
Okay. Well, with open spleen, the not self theme is out of fear, I'm holding on. And the freedom of the open spleen is you're free to let go, meaning you'll struggle with letting go. In other words, because there's going to be a strong tendency to hold on out of fear.
Very, very true. Very true. Very true. Very true.
Now, when we're looking at, okay, great, that's everywhere that's not helpful to us. When I lean into the freedoms of each of these open centers as you, I get a lot of peace. But that doesn't answer how do I make decisions that are going to be fulfilling for me? Because as a generator, you're here to be satisfied. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So how do we get a satisfied Sophia? We're going to lean into this definition over here. We're going to trust when the ego latches on and we're going to latch. But we're not going to latch until we've waded through the emotional wave. We're going to listen to the gut and we're going to value the gut knowings of things, but we're going to wait to choose what the gut says to choose after the emotional wave. And you're going to be someone who has energy to take action to a certain degree because you've got this root. Now, most important, also another thing, this is interesting, is you have single definition, which means all your defined centers, 1, 2, 3, 4, they're all connected by gates and by channels to each other. So your root can hear your solar plexus, which can hear your sacral, which hears your ego. Single definition people can get their life purpose done without needing someone else to come in and bridge their split. Split definition people need, like, think of Rami's energy, how they're very contained and they just do their thing and it works. That's single definition.
Yeah.
Whereas Cassidy and I are both people who have split definition, where I literally need another person to come into my aura to bridge my split so I can literally do the things.
Interesting.
So it's not like you don't need people because humans need each other, but you don't need them to do your things in life.
Well, it's interesting because I've always felt like, gosh, why doesn't anyone help me? Like that kind of like, I want the connection of sometimes like people or collaboration in a way that like, I just don't super experience in this life. And I'm like, that's so interesting. Like I want that, but maybe I don't.
Well, this is more about the aura. Remember, all this is happening on the auric level. So it's like what people are reading off of you probably is you're pretty self-contained.
Yes. they are definitely reading that.
Now, I have to talk about this channel and this channel real quick.
We can't see what this is when you're pointing
at it. I know, I'm going to say it. I'm going to say it in a minute.
Okay.
So there's a channel that connects the sacral motor to the emotional center. Mm-hmm. And there's another channel that connects the emotional center to the ego. There's a couple of those. And the one you have here, this is the 49.6. I believe that's what that says. It's so small, it's hard for me to read it here. 59.6, right. So this, from the sacral to your emotional center, this guy right here is all about procreation, sex. Like, when does procreation and sex happen? So in other words, when you're in a relationship with someone, you are the decider of that.
Ooh.
And anyone who comes in is going to, they're going to be like, cool, Sophia's into it or they're not. She's not. And that's what's happening. Because you're complete here. You have both gates here that have to do with when we're boning down, why we're boning down, and what exactly we're doing when we do it. Because it's complete. This is a complete channel. Additionally, this is a community channel here from your ego to your emotional center. This is channel 40, 37, I think that is. I can't read.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I see it.
That channel is all about the needs of the community and the needs of the collective and the needs of the tribe. It's a channel that says, I care very much about how the people in my team, my unit, my community are doing. It's a channel that's like, I really want to take care of the needs of the community. So yeah, just looking at those, that's why I just had to talk about those two channels for a second, because this one is, it's so much about community and the needs of the community and you being someone who is going to really latch on to like the community needs this. And I am following through forever until they get their needs met. And I have all the control with what we're creating, whether it's sexual or creative. It's like, this is a pro-creative channel, the 59.6. So sometimes what you're birthing with someone metaphorically is a book. Or a business or a whatever, right?
Yeah.
And you have a lot of creative power to be in charge of all that right here. Now, you're also going to have a very creative mind because you're wide open here. Anywhere we're open, very creative, very receptive, all the ideas. It's just you don't want to decide from an open center because it's inconsistent. But you could be the idea person, no problem. Because you could see all the possibilities because you can think in any way because you have open head and ajna.
Right.
Okay, that's all I had to say. I could say more. Do you have any questions? That was a compound.
I think it's so interesting, the just that thing about where I have definition, right? And how I make those decisions, because I do find that like when I'm doing, if I'm going to do something, it's like, and now we're doing this. Like I'm so clear. And even I've done that before. I remember in one relationship, at least, which I remember at one point I was meeting up with this person. And I was like, I'm going to go down this path until this path is over. And I don't know that this is the path, but I have to go down it. So I guess we're doing this. Like, it's just kind of like, I guess we're doing this for myself. This is just something happening within me. Like, we're doing this for as long as we're doing it, but I need to go down this path a little further.
Yeah.
So it's just, it's quite interesting that is how I'm built, and thinking does get in the way. I overthink a lot sometimes. And this is why sitting, meditating, you know, getting down, grounding, like, where are we in here is so important.
Well, something you could tell yourself if it's helpful is, and literally anything you're thinking, it's not your thought. It's you're hearing the thoughts of other people.
Oh my God, 100%. Lord Jesus.
So like thinking is useless for you. It's actually useless. Like you're free to not think. But when we say you're free to not think, we mean like you'd probably do better not to think. In fact, just respond. Listen to that emotional authority. It's going to be loud.
And I guess, yeah, but like respond is basically not, I kind of read that as like responding to outside stuff.
Yes.
But is that what it is, or is that responding to me? Like when it says the authority is to respond, like what is that?
No. So your strategy is respond. Your authority is emotional. Yeah. So the strategy, it's an important distinction. That's why I'm overemphasizing that it's not authority, is because strategy is like everyone in America is taught to be a manifester. Manifestors are here to think up a thought at home with no stimulation around them. Just I'm sitting at home and I go, I'm going to start a shoe company. and you go out there and start a shoe company, and your strategy is to inform. Hey, everybody, we're starting a shoe company. Follow me. Generators, which are 60% of the population, you, me, and Cass, are not here to sit at home, think up an idea, and go make it happen. We're here to respond to life. To be honest, we're like, if you really get granular, we're here to respond with the to the manifestors. The manifestors are like, I built a company called, what company do you work for?
Can't say.
I'm not going to say.
That company. Oh, I need a person who does this thing. And Sophia goes, I think I'll take that. Am I taking that? I'm taking that. Ooh. That was a response to reality. You didn't invent that company. And that we would say is correct for a generator.
Huh. That's kind of like how I got here with y'all, right? Like,
correct.
Responding, going like,
right.
This feels like, yeah, I'm going to.
Like,
yeah,
I'm not going to start a podcast, but I might want to help with it.
I often say that about things. Yeah.
Let's look at this real quick because I want to get us all out of here in 4 minutes. Can you open this guy, Cass? I'm sorry. No, I can't do it. The left angle cross thing. Thanks so much. All right. So this is your incarnation cross, which speaks to like, what is the day-to-day of a Sophia animal look like when she is functioning correctly as herself, following strategy and authority? Your energy is to seek a break from the existing communities and groups that are built. By living in a community, one makes bargains and sacrifices in order to please everyone, such as taxes paid so schools can be built. At some point, the community realizes that it can't please everyone. Your energy is there to be the voice to identify that the compromise has gone too far and we need to move on and begin to build again. Your voice contributes to the community building process. Ever find yourself in this role?
All the time. How am I all the time going like, I just feel like the path we're on is not conducive to what our goals are. So I think we should rethink it.
I mean, that's literally what you did with us.
You guys are great, but you've taken it as far as you can take it. I think you need some help. Go in the next step.
I think this is what we should do.
And this is the day-to-day of a Sophia, when a Sophia is functioning correctly as itself.
Oh my God, that's so funny. That's so funny.
Isn't that amazing? Now, the last thing, Cass, if you don't mind going back to the chart for a second, the last thing is your profile. So we have to make it small again. So you have a 6-3 profile. There's a lot to say about that. We might need to have you back on to talk about this. But I'll say just the beginnings about it. It's a very unique profile. It's not the most typical or the most common profile. You're the role model of how to be yourself. Okay, so let me back up. The number on the left of the slash is your conscious personality number.
Mm-hmm.
And the number to the right of the slash is your unconscious body number. So what is your conscious personality all about? We would say you have a 6-line personality. What is your unconscious body about? We would say you have a 3-line body. So this is what your body and its aura are doing, whether you like it or not. It's what they're doing all the time. So we'll start with your body because this is unconscious to you. Okay. A 3-line is iterative. It's trying this and then that and then this and then that. It's iterating on themes. The 3-line becomes a master in this life of what does not work. So how do you learn what does not work? You have to let a 3-line body make their mistakes. If you don't bump up against the wall and fuck up and fall down and try this and try that, you can't learn what does not work. So one of the biggest pieces of advice we give to people with any kind of 3-line in their profile, but particularly in the body, since it's unconscious to you, is there could be a real way that you could judge yourself for needing to iterate on a lot of things. Let me try it like this. Now I'll try this. Now I'll try. Why don't I just know? Why don't I just know how to do it? Or why don't I have the best way already? Some people just naturally blah, blah, blah. Well, you can't because you're a 3-line body. And thank God you can't, because when you're at the 3rd portion of your life after age 50, because you have a 6-line personality, we'll talk about in a second, you're going to come off the roof and you're going to be a master of what does not work. Do you know how valuable it is for people to be able to come to a role model? By the way, your personality, role model. And what are you a role model of? You are a role model of being yourself.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
That's so true. That's so true.
Yeah. And that's what people see in you first. The personality line, you have a 6-line. It's a tripartite life, 3 parts of your life. I'll talk about what they are right now. But the overall deal with being a six line is you are the role model to the rest of the people of what it looks like to be really true to yourself. Meanwhile, your body is iterating on everything, being very creative, by the way, because the third lines are very creative. They're trying this, they're trying that. Ooh, it could be this, it could be that. I could try this, I could try that. And by the time you're 50, if you've done your work, you're going to come off the roof as the role model of how to be yourself and know exactly what does not work, bitches.
What's up, fellow third line body? I feel you. I feel you. I'm also one.
It's a challenging profile in the sense that it's hard to not come in with all the answers, podcast name, and to have to iterate to find them. But it's very glorious when later in life, when you become the master of everything that does not work. Now, lastly, I'm going to talk about, because I got to hop off now. But
yeah,
the tripartite life of a six line personality, first third of life, trial and error, trauma, difficulties. Second part of life, all the way from 28 to 50, 23 to 50, 23 to 50 is processing, grieving, dealing with, integrating everything that happened in the first third.
Woo! Ain't that the truth?
And then there's a way that as a six line, you can feel like removed from the world, like kind of like you're watching the world from behind a pane of glass.
Yes.
And when you're 50, whoosh, you get brought off the roof. And you're going to feel like, holy shit, I'm now in this shit. I'm in the world now as a master of being myself and what does not work. And think about how relevant and useful that is to be someone who knows how to be themselves and knows what does not work.
Amazing.
A lot of people are going to just come to the top of the mountain to work with you and be like, how do we do this? And what does the thing and how do we?
Yeah, I love that. Thank you so much, Kate. I'll just say like, that makes so much sense because of so many things, but like, you know, not beating yourself up for the trial and error is so error. Ugh. It's so hard, right? Because you're just like, well, I tried that. And just going like, oh, how about this is like how we figure things out in life. Yeah. Well, we do this and then we do that. And to know that that's like just part of me. Right. Mm-hmm. And also just a tiny thing. Like I was always just super individualistic and super like myself. And people were always like, you're so strange. I was like, I don't know. Like, I just was like, that's just who I am. Like, aren't you a person too? And it's so interesting to me because I never understand how people can shove themselves into boxes and kind of make themselves small or squeeze over here. I'm always like, how do you do that? Mm. Like, I don't understand how a person takes part of themselves and squishes it away. Mm-mm. So they can do this other thing. Cause it just doesn't exist in me. And it doesn't exist in me, Katie.
Doesn't exist in you.
Yeah. And it's hard sometimes to know what's going on with those other people. Why don't they understand that? Cause they're not that.
Exactly. Exactly.
I mean, it's very frustrating to be a third line body because you're out there going like, y'all, I know that's not going to work. Why are you?
It's every time I listen to the news, which is why like I just sometimes I'm just like I can't. It's just like you're all doing it. No, that you're wrong. That's not going to work.
Yeah.
Love you.
Oh, this is brilliant. This is brilliant. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thank you. Happy to have you. Thank you for doing being your incarnation cross and contacting us and telling us what we need because you were right.
I did it.
And you did it. I'm more excited and lucky to have you in our lives.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to work with you guys. And I'm just excited about everything, about y'all. And I was so like giddy yesterday. I was like, oh, this feels good. This feels good. So I love that. Thank you guys so much.
And great job, Cass, for being like, Sophia, you should come on tomorrow. That was like such a good call.
Yes, that was brilliant.
Well, I figure you should book yourself as the first person you book.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Okay, I'm gonna hop. You guys are the best. I love you so much.
Love you all. Talk to you soon.
Thank you guys. All right, bye.
Do your work.
What are you asking for? All of the answers. Say what? All of the answers. Yeah, all the answers.
Hey guys, thanks for listening. We'd love to hear from you. Please email us with your questions so that we have questions to answer in the Akashic Records. Our email address is allanswerspod@gmail.com. That's allanswerspod@gmail.com. And if you'd like to find us on Facebook or Twitter, it's @allanswerspod. Thank you.
I'll allow it. I'll allow it.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.